punching a time clock and working 9 to 5. We're talking about working around the clock, rain or shine, hot or cold, because crops and animals won't wait. Jimmy knows all about it because he lives it. And Jimmy knows what you're going through because he goes through it too. He's here to talk about it. It's seed and feed, chemicals and compost, vaccinations and irrigation. It's time for Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, good day to all you great stewards of the land. It is Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark, brought to you by the First National Bank and Trust of Elk City in Sayre, America. Happy Wednesday, everybody. It's hump day. We got lots going on. We got a lot of things going on. Let's see here. Tomorrow, I'm going to have a special guest on from Idaho, and we're going to be talking about the irrigation catastrophe up there with the potato farmers, amongst some other things. And that'll be pretty much 3/4 of the show tomorrow. And then Friday, guess what? I have me a new intern coming in. Miss Briley Pritchard is going to come in, start coming in on Fridays from the Elk City FFA school here. She's going to be coming in to help me with the show this year. And I've had Jancy, I've had Jill. We had a lot of J's going on here, but we're going to change. We're going to go up in the alphabet to B with Briley coming in. So Briley will start Friday. So I'm super, super, super excited about that. So anyway, we got lots going on today. Today is the Taylor Ranch Happy Hour, all hour. And we're going to change one thing next Tuesday on our Heyday Tuesdays. And one of our listeners suggested that we put one more item in there, kind of required if you want to sell hay on Heyday Tuesdays, is where's it at? Is it at Foss? Is it in Hobart, or is it Woodward? So that will kind of help narrow things down for people who are shopping for hay. So anyway, we had I think 4 yesterday. That's pretty good. We went from 2 to 4, and I think it'll be good. We'll just keep doing it because people are going to start looking for hay here in the next month or two when summer starts going away and fall starts coming in. Then they're going to go, man, I should have bought some hay. I forgot all about this. It's one of those deals. You know, we'll see what goes on. Anyway, I want to do anything to help you guys out there find or sell some of your hay, however we want to do it. So let's check out some stuff going on right now, heat-wise, in Oklahoma. Looks like 95 degrees at Hollis, 95 at Eric, 87 at Cheyenne, home with a secret weapon, 88 at Camargo, 84 at the May Ranch. Not too bad, but it's going to get hot. Out here in the panhandle of Texas, 92 at Lipscomb, 100. The heat's coming. Here it comes. It's already 100 degrees at Miami. I look down here, and there's 103 at Flomont. If it's Flomont, however you say that, Flomont, F-L-O-M-O-T in Texas, 94 at Odell. And Goodlitz, Mezzanette's down, I guess, because they don't have a number there. All right, let's see what happened in our big world of agriculture overnight. Soybeans and corn rose in overnight trading amid calls for drier weather in parts of the Midwest later this week. Dry weather is forecast in several areas in the Midwest and in the Delta region this week, which will allow moisture levels to decline, said Don Kenney, agriculture meteorologist for Maxar. Crop stress likely will build in parts of the Delta due to the dry weather. Parts of southern Nebraska and northern Kansas have seen little or no rain in the past week, and areas in northern Iowa and much of Minnesota saw precipitation amounts that were lower than normal, according to the National Weather Service precipitation page. Still, much of eastern Nebraska, western Iowa, and northern Missouri have seen as much as 6 times the normal amount of rain in the past 7 days. Sign of demand for U.S. soybeans also may be boosting prices overnight. exporter sold 132,000 tons of beans to China, 239,000 tons to Mexico, according to the USDA in its report yesterday. The agency on Monday reported sales of 332,000 metric tons of U.S. soybeans to China and an additional 110,000 to an unnamed country, a John Doe country. Soybeans for November delivery rose 5 1/4 to 981 1/4 a bushel overnight on the Chicago Board of Trade. Soybean meal gained $2 to 310.30 a short ton, and soy oil added 0.46 cents to 39.66 cents a pound. Corn futures for December delivery rose 2 cents to $4 a bushel. Wheat futures added a half a penny to 557 a bushel, while Kansas City futures overnight gained a penny to 562 1/4 cents a bushel. Hey, while I'm thinking about it, I want to wish the world famous David Tigner a happy birthday. He worked for North Fork Electric Co-op, and he's my go-to guy when I have issues sometimes. Sometimes he's not. But anyway, he's a big old boy, too. Anyway, happy birthday, Mr. Tigner. Chicken output and consumption in China will increase modestly in 2025. That shows you how hungry I am right now. I was getting ready to go Chinese chickens on the buffet, but that's not what this says. According to the report from the Ag Department's office in Beijing, production of chicken meat will rise to 15.3 million metric tons next year. That's up from 15 million in 24. According to the USDA's Foreign Agriculture Services, the growth will mainly come from the white broiler as producers respond to demand drivers and as broiler meat will be a substitute for other animal proteins. Consumption is forecast to rise to 14.93 million tons from 14.79 million in this current year. Diet shifts will lead to increased use next year, they're saying. Rising pork prices will lead consumers to shift to chickens, also increasing consumption. Chicken imports will plunge year over year, falling to 300,000 metric tons. If realized, that would be down from an updated view of 450,000 tons. As white broiler chickens is often a good substitute for pork, producers will likely raise white broiler prices gradually as pork prices have climbed in recent months. According to the FSA, or FAS, not the FSA, but the FAS, as broiler prices climb, some white broiler producers may increase capacity with new facilities or manage operations differently to increase existing capacity utilization. That. What's going on with our weather? In the Farm Belt, several thunderstorms are possible tonight in parts of South Dakota and Minnesota, according to the National Weather Service. Large hail and intense winds are likely with the storm should develop. In parts in northeastern Nebraska, northwestern Iowa, and southern Minnesota, storms are possible this evening through the not too much severe weather, doesn't look like. Further north in the North Dakota, several severe storms are possible. The main threats will be large hail up to the size of $0.5, damaging wind gusts up to 60 miles an hour, and locally heavy rainfall. So anyway, anybody, is Sturgis going on right now? Is that happening in South Dakota right now? I can't remember. Is it always first part of August or the middle part? Anyway, I wonder if anybody, any of you farmers are up there playing on your Harleys in Sturgis right now. So anyway, check that out. Okay, today is the Taylor Ranch Happy Hour. All cattle are not the same, just like in people, our genetics determine our traits. Some people are tall, some short, some have blonde hair, and so on. Some have bigger feet, like some down there around Sentinel and Deal City, and others have not enough toes. No, I'm just kidding. It's the same in cattle. Cattle are not the same genetically, especially when it comes to making a good steak. Some cattle just make better steaks than others because they have the right genetics. Taylor Ranch has been working on their carcass genetics for over 17 years to develop animals that excel in both flavor and tenderness to give you that mouth-watering best steak in your life eating experience. They develop every animal as if it were going to be served on their own table. That's Taylor Ranch, selling quarters, halves, and whole beef, third-party verified, all natural and hormone-free. Also available, 405-609-4662. Let's go ahead and take a Taylor Ranch break. Want to come back? I'll have your Lipscomb Dealerships Ag Market update, and we're going to do, we're going to start every Wednesday and Friday, start doing cash prices on Milo corn and wheat. So anyway, here we go. Be right back after this.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey farmers and ranchers, it's time to make your life easier with an easy haul hay trailer from Everett's Welding in Visalia, Oklahoma. These trailers are designed to haul multiple hay bales as quickly and efficiently as possible, keeping more money in your pocket. It'll pay for itself over time and make your life easier. What a deal! See all they have to offer at EverettWelding.com. Be sure and check out their ads in the Penny News.
Your cattle need feed. They've got to eat. So you need a reliable source of feed that won't break the bank. Kirk Feeds in Eric offers competitive prices on bulk feed at the store and delivered to your place. We also carry fence wire, T-post, gates, water tanks, and a lot more farm and ranch supplies. We get new products every week, so check back often to see if we have something else you need. We even have the Sportsman covered for all your hunting needs. Farming and ranching is in our blood, and we want to help keep agriculture strong. Kirk Feeds, 117 West 2nd Street in Erie.
We do get travelers going through that have AC that doesn't work. You're running down the interstate, and it's 105 degrees outside, and it can be that hot, if not hotter, inside. Lots of times during the winter, you can come up with a leak in your system. So it is very important to make sure that that stuff is correctly maintained. Getting it checked out, do your general maintenance is better than wait until it's broke to fix it.
Napa Auto Parts of Elk City, 716 West 3rd. We try our best not to tell the customer no, but to find what they need.
From pump to pivot, Valley Water Experts can provide efficient turnkey pumping solutions for large or small operations. From identifying a source to remote management, Valley Water Experts have you covered with the most efficient and cost-effective solutions for all your water management challenges. Contact your local Valley dealer, Knutson Irrigation, 1-800-373-9325, or online at KnutsonIrrigation.com. That's Knutson Irrigation, 1-800-373-9325, or online at KnutsonIrrigation.com.
That life insurance that I have on myself, it's not for me. It's for my wife, that she doesn't have to sell the home. She doesn't have to go worry about how am I going to make this car payment? How am I going to come up with the cost out of pocket to pay this funeral? Because, you know, that's an expensive cost. And it's a cost that you're going to have. If you had a machine in your garage that made money, it was a money-making machine. You went out every day and you flipped the switch on that machine and it generated money to pay your bills. Would you insure that machine? I've never had anybody say no. Sure they would. Well, you are that machine. You flip your switch on every morning when you get up. You flip your switch on when you go to work. But yet we don't insure ourselves. It doesn't make any sense to me. Hi, I'm Mickey Lively. I'm an insurance agent with Oklahoma Farm Bureau. My office is located in Greer County. Call me anytime at 580-782-3827.
Life insurance and annuity products offered through Farm Bureau Life Insurance Company. Property and casualty products are offered through Oklahoma Farm Bureau Mutual Insurance and affiliated companies.
Kent Watkins here, owner of SEI Agritech in Elk City. It is time for fall cover crop seed. This is a critical step in the growing process. Remember, keep it covered. Stop by SEI Agritech to get all your fall cover crop seed. In addition to that, we are now contracting winter cattle kits, another very important part of livestock management. Come see me. Let's get all your fall seed and your winter feed contracts done. All here at SEI Agritech in Elk City, located on South Randall.
Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
All right, welcome back. Miami, Texas, 99 degrees. Heat index is 97. Humidity's 22. Dew point's 53. And the winds are out of the northwest at 10 miles an hour with wind gust up to 12. peak wind gust today, 24 miles an hour. Month to date precipitation, 1.59 inches of rain. 8-inch soil temperature, 82 degrees. All right, let's see what's happening on the Lipscomb dealerships grain market update here. September corn, 375, up 3/4. December's 398, up 1/4. Soybeans for September, 959, up 1 3/4. November's 978, 8, up 2 1/4. Soybean meal for September, 311, 80, down 50. October's 305, 80, down 30. Soybean oil, September, 4091, up 20. October's 4005, up 19. What is wheat doing here? Here we go. Hard red winter wheat, September, 534, down 11 1/4. December, 550, down 11. Let's see here. What is Texas oil doing? Man, Texas, the oil, crude oil, I don't know what the Arabian oil is doing. I'm sure it's about the same track as this, a little bit higher. October, it just changed again on me. October oil, West Texas Intermediate crude oil is $71.91, down $1.26. Natural gas is down, still above $2 though. September's $2.13. The NASDAQ and the S&P and the Dow are all just barely in the green, but they are in the green. Let's see what live cattle are doing. Live cattle for, trying to sneeze. I'm sorry. My allergies are killing me. They kicked in last Friday and they ain't kicked out yet. October live cattle 175, down 60. December 174.72, down 37. Feeder cattle for August 239.47, down up 127. September's 235.80, up 130. And October's 231.82, up 50. And lean hogs October 76.50, up 10. So not too bad overall. Wheat kind of not looking too good. Let's check out, I'm going to check out three cash prices today. How about that? At Planters Co-op in Lone Wolf, here it says wheat is at 461 cash price, 456 at Roosevelt and Altus and Duke's at 446. Milo is at Lone Wolf. Hobart is 350. So is Roosevelt and so is Altus and Duke. Let's see what it's doing down there at Carnegie. Cash prices for wheat is 471. And corn is 415. And Milo is 340. And soybeans for, they got soybeans on here and no canola, but soybeans there are at $8.94 cash price and they're up 2 1/4 today. And Wheeler Brothers and Cordell, let's check that out. Let me see here. New crop corn 24 is at $4.03. Milo's at $3.48. And soybeans are at $8.93 and wheat is at $4.64. There you have it, something new. I failed to do something during that first break. So bear with me here a second. It won't take me but a second because it should just pop right up. There we go. All right. Okay. It takes a second for this to download, but oh, there's golden download. Let's see what happened at Beaver yesterday. You want to? Usually they got the first page first. What happened? Did I ever tell you I hate computers? There we go. This is what happened at the Beaver Stockyards yesterday in Beaver, Oklahoma. They sold 2,323 head heifers, bred heifers. They had, they only had five. Average weight was 798. They brought, that's right. Oh, they had one that didn't sell. Never mind. Anyway, looks like the heifers that did sell were bringing around 1,500 to 1,700. That was bred heifers. That threw me off there for a minute. All right. Bulls. Big boys, 43 head sold. Average weight 1418. Average price 169.31 per 100. 2401.38 was the average head. Looks like the biggest one. There was one that sold for, is this right? 1335, 299.63 per 100 wheat brought $4,000. Anyway, bull calves, 99 of them. Average weight, 539, brought 255.50, 1377 a head. Cows, slaughter cows, 170 head, average 1577 per head. Basically, 132 was their average per 100 weight. Heifer calves, 270 head of them, 510 average weight, average price 253.78, 1293.07 per head. And heifer yearlings, 400 head of them, 760 on weight, 226.07 per 100 weight, 1716.98 per head. Looks pretty good. Pairs were, they had a few pairs there, then looks like they was bringing $2,800 per pair. And then we got steer calves, 271 head, average weight 534, average price 278.78 per 100 weight, 1489.23 per head. And on the steer yearlings, 1058 head, average weight 822, average price 243.31 per 100 weight. They brought a dollar over 2000 a piece, 2001 a head. All right, so the market's still decent. The market's still good. I know, I think what they figured up, $5, $10, $15 per 100 weight, shy of what it was 2 or 3 weeks ago. But to me, the market still looks pretty good as far as I'm concerned. Okay, let's see here. Got a few minutes. The Imperial Irrigation District. You guys know I read a deal here a couple weeks ago where they're going to, out west of here in the irrigation districts, they're going to pay farmers and ranchers not to irrigate, to conserve some water. So the Imperial Irrigation District, which is the one out in California, has received official approval for the deficit irrigation program. That's what it was called. I was talking about. And approximately 88,000 acres of alfalfa, 52,000 acres of Bermuda grass, and 18,000 acres of Klein grass have been enrolled. Many predict the pause in production will positively affect local hay prices down the road. So what they're going to do is, not going to say they're not going to hay it, but they're not going to get any water. They're going to pay them not to irrigate, and so they're trying to get things out of the water. So did you guys know, where is that? Hang on here a second. Let's see if I can find this. What is the number one irrigated crop? Here's just a trivia question for the fun of it. What is the number one irrigated crop in the United States? The number one irrigated crop in the United States. Question of the day. See how many people get it right without Googling it. I want you to sit there and use your head without Googling it. What do you guys think is the number one irrigated crop in the United States? Okay. That's your question of the day. So, all right, let's go ahead and take a Taylor Ranch break. No cotton king, stick with the cotton. It is not corn. You're so far off base, it's not even funny. Yesterday, he texted in during the show when Brandon was on, and we were talking about the markets, and then we got off on the EID tag. But anyway, cotton king used to be known as the cattle king. Probably a lot of you guys don't know that he used to work for the big boys up there in Kansas, and he's actually a lot sharper on cattle than he is cotton, from what I can tell. And I'm not a professional cotton guy, so I shouldn't be the one judging the cotton king. But anyway, his name now is the ex-cattle king. So anyway, I'm going to have him come on the show sometime and talk about his how his cattle, what we want to call it, career, his cattle career come to an abrupt halt. It was a good story, because if I said it, it's got to come from the cotton king's mouth or ex-cattle king's mouth. So anyway, we'll do that. So we'll more on that down the road, because I think not this Thursday, but next Thursday, it's probably about time for our monthly meeting with the cotton king anyway. So we'll get it going on. Or I'm sorry, ex-cattle king. We'll get it going anyway. So your trivia question, just for the fun of it, try to answer this without Googling it. What is the number one irrigated crop in the United States? We'll be right back after this Taylor Ranch break.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Febreze. As a rideshare driver, I love keeping my car smelling fresh and clean. So when I'm driving, I only trust new Febreze Car Vent Clips, now with 3 times greater scent control, because it's that little touch that sets me apart. I can turn the intensity down for subtle freshness, or I can turn it up for when I want lots of scent. So whether it's set to low, medium, or high, with new Febreze Car, I know my car's going to smell amazing, which keeps my driver rating right where it belongs. Picking up, Oscar! La, 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 la.
Money may not buy happiness, but it can buy a bag of cotton candy, a burger, and a rodeo ticket, and the chance to see some pretty darn good bull riding, barrel racing, and the other rodeo events as well. Hi everybody, Wayne Brooks inviting you to the Rodeo of Champions in Elk City, August 30th, 31st, and September 1st to watch the best rodeo action around. Brought to you by Barber Dyson Ford. Get your tickets online at elkcityrodeo.com. It's the Elk City Rodeo, August 30th, 31st, and September 1st. See you there.
You've got acres of rugged, unforgiven land. You've got dirt to move and grass and weeds to take care of. That work got easier when you got a Coyote. The crew at the store told you and showed you all the reasons why it's a great tractor. As good as it is, that isn't why you bought the Coyote. You bought that marvelous machine from them because of them. They gave you a key and let you drive it around the lot. They answered all your questions and let you take as much time as you needed. Afterward, they delivered it to your place. They told you to call if you ever had any questions. A few days later, you did just that, and they told you what you needed to know. The Coyote's a great tractor, but you bought it from Wall Equipment because of how easy it is to do business with the Wall family. The website is wallequip.com. The building is the Big Silver Bin on I-40 east of Clinton, just west of Love's. The Wall family is in business to solve your problems.
This is the Elk City Livestock Auction Market Report for Friday, August the 16th. 1,957 head were sold. 12 head of steers at 433 brought 317.50. 5 at 464 brought 338. 7 at 484 brought 310. 4 at 565 brought 265. 9 at 637 brought 258. 15 at 809 brought 244. 16 head of heifers at 408 brought 298. 5 at 473 brought 260. 4 at 8 at 629 brought 250, 9 at 643 brought 241, 20 at 689 brought 243, 8 at 739 brought 230, butcher cows were 22 to 162, butcher bulls brought 120 to 179.50, bred cows were 1400 to 2900, pairs were 1685 to 3350, Elk City Livestock, Elk City, Oklahoma, sell every Friday at 9 a.m. To consign, call Brandon Hickey 580-497-6095.
It helps to work with someone who's been down the same road you're traveling. Someone who knows what you're up against and what you're going through. When it comes to farmers and ranchers, that's us. That's who we are. Our lenders know ag inside and out because we're producers too. We approach it like a partnership. We want to put ag producers in position to be successful. We're very laid back and easy to deal with. And people seem to like that. We think you'll like it too. I'm Marty Maddox. Great Plains Bank in Elk City is here to lend farmers and ranchers a helping hand. Member FDIC.
He loves talking about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Daryl Dunn, are you into beer? Because you don't know how to spell beans. Anyway, we got some good answers on the text line. So the question of the day, just for the fun of it, and use your brain, don't Google it. Text your answer into 580-225-9697. What is the most irrigated? What crop is the most irrigated in the United States? So there you have it. And it's, I'll give you a hint. It's not what you're thinking. That ought to get you going. So anyway, it is, it's inside city limits and outside city limits. There's your tip. Anyway, 86 degrees at Cherokee, Oklahoma. Feels like 91. Heat risk is low. 68 is your dew point. Humidity is 54. Winds are out of the south, southeast at 11 miles an hour. 10-day rain total, 34 one-hundredths of an inch. 3-day average 4-inch bare soil temperature, 90 degrees. Sunset at 8:17. Mostly sunny and 93 today. Tonight, 69 clear. And Thursday, 95 for a high. Tomorrow at Cherokee, Oklahoma. Way up, what county is that anyway? Let's see here. Is that, oh man, it's right next to Woods County. What's the one east of Woods County? I can't think of it. Anyway, right east of Alva. My brain's dead. Anyway, I probably don't remember. I took history a long time ago if you guys didn't know. Let's see what kind of answers we got. Well, I got number one irrigated crop is marijuana. No, it's not. Number one crop is bull crap. Yep. And we got beans. We got rice. We got cotton. Black-eyed peas. It's getting so expensive you can't tell, but look at my yard this year in the heat. There is your hint. There's your hint, people. There's your hint. Flowers, rice, beans spelled with two E's by Daryl Dunn, and then corn. Nope. Anyway, Sturgis starts the first Friday of August in the last 2 weeks. I forgot. Thank you very much. And it's already done and over with. So anyway, Scott Robinson. No, it's not potatoes. Nope, it's not. So I gave you a hint just now when I read one of the replies back. Figure it out. Anyway, we'll announce the winner here coming up in the third deal. Okay, we need to talk about, just for the fun of it, the American Irrigation Canal. The American Canal is the All-American Canal. Just for the fun facts, is the largest irrigation canal in the world. And it's a key landmark along the U.S.-Mexico border. Runs through, what is that, Yuma, Arizona? Starts there. It's just west of Yuma there. You should Google that sometime and read all about it. It's pretty cool. And there was a lot of seepage in the canal, but it was seeping underneath the, I guess, across the border. So the Mexicans started farming from the seepage, and then back in, I was reading the history on it, back in whenever, they went in there, and they started this thing in the 30s and finished it in the late 40s, and then they went in there and redone the canal so they didn't have this seepage, and they were taken to court from environmental groups and from the Mexican government and Mexican farmers, because it was going to stop the seepage, but they didn't get nowhere with that. So they were losing a lot of seepage. So anyway, all right, army worms. You guys ready? It's the sound of the fall army worm alarm, and they're here. There's a jillion of them out there under my peanuts right now. What comes to mind when you think about the fall of 2021? Is it the incredibly high fertilizer prices back in 21? Maybe. That more than doubled that year? You guys remember that year? Or maybe it's the extremely sluggish supply chain for parts and machinery on the heels of COVID-19. What about the historic invasion of fall army worms? According to the experts, the fall army worm outbreak of 2021 was the worst of its kind in nearly 50 years. The insects infested pastures and hayfields in states from the Mid-South to the northern U.S. border, chewing through grass, alfalfa stands, and some cases stripped right down to the stems. Whispers of another ambush are coming down the pipeline. One Alabama farmer told his local news station that fall armyworms have been wreaking havoc on his alfalfa and Bermuda grass since June. University of Georgia Extension agent Wade Hutchinson also reports pastures and hayfields in the Peach State are currently under attack with confirmed outbreaks in 90% of the counties. And an integrated pest management specialist with the University of Tennessee noted arrival dates for fall armyworms in his state are roughly 2 weeks ahead of schedule. Extension educators from the Ohio State University have also seen higher fall armyworm numbers than normal across 14 counties that are part of their pest monitoring system. It's too soon to declare an official outbreak in the northern states, though some rather than sounding a false alarm, those early observations should ring a bell about being proactive with your pest management. Fall armyworm pressure was especially intense in 2021 because of the three major factors: a warm winter, a high tropical storm activity, and inefficient control practices. Although the triple threat really rocked the hay and forage world for the first time 3 years ago, it was a recipe for disaster, according to Caitlin Kesheimer, I'm not sure how you say that, with Auburn University Extension, predicted come more frequent in the future years, she's saying. Fall armyworms are migratory pests that overwinter in Florida, South Texas, and parts of South America. Once the rest of the U.S. starts to warm up, the insects make their way to the northern states in the spring. However, an unusually warm winter in 2021 offered better insect survival, so a greater population of fall armyworms got a head start on migration. Early venture north was not helped by the high winds from several hurricanes and tropical storms that pushed insects to broader geographical range than what is typically seen. In fact, 20 more named storms occurred in 2021 than the yearly average, including 7 more hurricanes. 2 of the most notable, Claudette and Elsa, made long tracks through a wide swath of the eastern states. Many regions have experienced similar conditions so far this year. For instance, much of the Mid-South and Midwest welcomed abnormally warm weather and minimal snowfall last winter, according to the NOAA. The hurricane season, which runs from June 1st through November 30th, has got off to an early start. And, winter weather and storm activity are completely out of our control, but producers can at least start scouting for fall armyworms. And I'm going to find this here in a second. She texted that to me, the new bug lady at OSU. There's a deal where you can report these, and then they'll give updates on it so everybody knows where they're at. And I think that's very important to us around here. I was talking to Wes with the Oklahoma Mezzanette before the show earlier. We just talking. I met him at the OCA convention. Anyway, I was telling him, I said, you need to add this bug deal, tracking bugs, different types of bugs, onto the Oklahoma Mezzanette. He said he would, but the problem is they tried to do this 6 or 7 years ago on the Mezzanette. They was tracking stuff coming across from Texas, but the people weren't reporting it. So one county down there along the Red River might not have any, and the county above it was. So it's important, if you guys find some bugs in your pastures or in your crop fields, it would be really helpful for other farmers if you reported them. I'll get you that information here in a minute. So anyway, just like LN just said, I won't repeat what he texted, but he said, these suckers, if it wasn't for them, I could drill wheat in a couple of weeks. And it's true. And the grasshoppers, yes. Yeah, I mean, he's talking about the grasshoppers. But anyway, so, yeah, we got all kinds of varmints out there. So I brought this up about the army worms because I had to spray for them yesterday. They're into my peanuts, and there's 8 to 10 to 15 army worms under every plant. And my seed count was over 90,000, so you do the math. And anyway, so it's easier to control fall army worms when caterpillars are in their younger instars. These specialists from Ohio State note insect feeding accelerates rapidly as caterpillars grow, emphasizing the importance of early detection. Fall army worms can vary in color from green to tan to dark brown. Matter of fact, Mr. Newcomb, didn't that one field of yours down there along 152, was that grasshoppers or army worms that got that big field down there? So anyway, I remember that from 2021, I think. Army worms can vary in color from green to tan to dark brown, and I had all three of those in the peanut field. They resemble many other caterpillar species, but an important identifier is the inverted Y-shaped stripe behind their heads. Scouting fall army worm egg masses in and around pastures and hay fields can also inform the next steps of pest controls. Yes, that was army worms, wasn't it? I remember that. I just looked out there and that wheat field was gone one day. And I was like, dang. Anyway, look for egg masses glued not only to vegetation, but structures like fence posts. The specialist right. Egg masses have a fluffy cover. When the cover is peeled back, eggs are pearly and tan when new, and they turn darker as they in, I don't know, Kent. I'll check today. I was afraid to go out there this morning. Insecticides won't penetrate egg mass as well. With that said, insecticides are most effective when fall army worms are less than 3/4 of an inch long, which leaves a short window to take action. It's true fact right there, people. Timing is everything. Other products containing, I don't even want to say that name, chlorotrienafrol, something like that, may control larger caterpillars, but that will come at a higher cost. If survivors are abundant, an insecticide application may be warranted to protect nearby fields. The specialist state, army worms get their name from moving in large bodies and marching to new feeding areas. And for you guys that have never had army worms, I'm telling you, they can wipe out stuff so fast that it's not even funny. Mr. Newcomb's field down there along 152 is one of those examples, because I drive by that thing every day, at least once, if not twice a day. And I looked over there one day and it was green, and the next day it wasn't. That's how fast that happened. Fall army worms are currently in their second generation, given the jump start to pest life cycles granted by a warm weather. Winter, a third generation may be expected this year, and two generations could overlap. And so just look for them, people. Established alfalfa should come back from fall armyworm damage. The specialists affirm recovery of a cool season perennial grass will depend on the relative severity of the damage. The presence of the fall armyworm in the south should alert farmers further to the north to be on the lookout, considering the devastation effect that the pests have on production. So, just a heads up, people. I'm just putting it in your head. Call your local agronomist, extension agent, or whoever supplies you with your chemicals when you find worms. Oh, let me see this. If you guys will bear with me a second, I will let me find her. Alicia's Ferris is her name. She's the one coming out doing a stink bug place at study at the I think the Cotton Canes place down there in Washtenaw County. Oh, okay. I'll have to find that. But anyway, they've got a deal where you can report to. Oh, here it is. I got it. Would you give a plug for OSU's Pest E-Alerts? A bunch of us integrated pest management specialists Use it to share updates on insects, diseases, and weed pests. When a problem is found, we write it up, a report with how to ID and suggestions for control. People can sign up to receive these pest e-alerts through email. You guys ready? It's pretty easy. Go to https://okstate.edu/epestalerts. E-pest alerts. Or you can just Google OSU pest e-alerts and sign up to receive that email to check on it. And when you do get one, there's got to be a deal on there where you can report any kind of pest and help out. It'll help all of us out. The guys at Woodward are appreciative. We report them here in Beckham County, and we'd appreciate if Jackson or Harmon would report them down there so we know what's coming. So anyway, there we go. Let's take a Taylor Ranch break, and I'll be right back with this, and we'll see who's going to see if we got any winners on the question of the day. Here's your last chance. What is the most irrigated crop in the United States?
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, cotton farmers, are you walking in high cotton? High cotton. It's easier than you think. Have your cotton ginned fast and efficiently at Western Planters Cotton Gin in Hobart, Oklahoma. Bet you didn't know they have the largest gin in the state and the connections to get top dollar on your investment. They're located at the corner of Highway 9 and Highway 183, just north of Hobart. Be sure and check them out online. WesternPlantersCottonGin.com.
Harvest equipment tires need to hold up to long hours, different soil conditions, and lots of road time. Firestone Harvest tires are built to keep up. They offer better traction, less soil compaction, better fuel use, and they're puncture resistant. Blair Tire and Feed keeps a bunch of Firestone Harvest tires in stock. Their inventory is huge. And when you need infield service, they guarantee to get there. If you're stuck in the middle of nowhere, they'll find you and get you moving again. Blair Tire and Feed. At Highway 283 and 19 in Blair, Oklahoma.
Our daughter, Jessie, loves playing detective.
But since we discovered she has sensitive skin, we've been playing detective, too.
We thought the problem was our puppy.
But it was actually our old detergent. So we switched to Tide Free and Gentle.
Tide Free and Gentle has no dyes or perfumes, so it's gentle on her skin.
If it's got to be clean, it's got to be Tide Free and Gentle. This back-to-school season, Tide and Downy are giving back with $1.5 million in scholarships. Enter to win. No purchase necessary. US/DC 17+. End September 30th. Rules. Tide.com/scholarship/official rules.
Is your cattle mineral investment being washed away? Weather can cause conventional mineral to absorb water and blow away. Simply put, your cows probably aren't eating it. That's why Purina created Wind and Rain Storm Mineral, a weatherized mineral that can stand up to the elements. Its larger particle size makes it harder to blow away and easier for water to pass through it. Keep money in your pocket. Contact Farmers Union Co-op of Elk City today.
Come on down to Galleria Furniture, Mattress, and Appliance Outlet of Elk City. This month we have 15% off of all recliners, which we have over 120 to choose from. Free flex heads-up base with purchase of any spring air mattress. All four colors of the Spartacus six-piece sectional was $32.99, now $24.99. Tons of inventory reduction markdowns all over the store, located right next to Tractor Supply, where friends don't let friends pay retail.
If I tell you that I'm going to fix something, you called and something wasn't right, or you call and you say, hey, I need you to make this payment for me next week. I'm going to be out of town, but will you make a note? Will you please, you know, do this for me? That's on me to do that. And if that doesn't happen, I can't say, well, I don't know who took that phone call. I don't know who agreed to do that. If I tell you I'm going to do something, it's going to get done. I'm Laura Carlucci, and I help make a difference at First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre.
Member FDIC.
Do you love the great outdoors? Maybe you enjoy trap shooting or skeet shooting, or maybe getting some target practice in at the firing range is your thing. If you're that person, you love guns. Hobart Farm and Garden has a whole room dedicated to guns, gun safes, ammunition, and more. It's quite impressive. You got to go check it out. They are Western Oklahoma's platinum Browning dealer and Glock stocking dealer. They're located at 1030 South Monroe in Hobart, Oklahoma. If they don't have it, you don't need it. Hobart Farm and Garden.
Oh, Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Audie Flowers, you're not even close. Go back to school. No, I'm just kidding. Anyway, we'll have the answer coming up here. Oh, there's a few people finally texting in some correct answers. They probably Googled it because they knew they couldn't guess it. First of all, let's check out some Hobart Farm and Garden ag weather. Let's go to Hollis, America. 98, feels like 100, heat risk is moderate. Dew point 63, humidity is 33%, and the west southwest winds 4 miles an hour. 45 one-hundredths of an inch in the last 10 days. 3-day average 4-inch bare soil temperature 90 degrees, and sunsets at 8:20. 105. It's going to be hot today. Tonight 74. Tomorrow it's going to be hotter, I'm afraid to tell you, with southeast winds 12 to 15 with a high of 107 tomorrow. All right, let's go to the tribute question. My question is, what's the number one irrigated crop in the United States? Well, I've told you there's been corn, there's been vegetables. Let's see here. There's been some beans or burns. Daryl calls them burns. That's beans. And then marijuana, bullcrap, flowers, cotton, black-eyed peas, and let's go to the last one. Bermuda grass, garden grass, yards, alfalfa, corn, Audie Flowers. He said peanuts and then cotton for second. And yes, Kendall, you're correct. There's three or four of you guys that were correct. The cotton is not on there either. The number one irrigated crop in the United States is lawns, aka grass. It just blows all other crops out of the water. Grass is the number one irrigated. It actually specifies lawns and it says it's crop. So there you go. That's your number one crop. So I guess if we start to get a little short on water, we can get people to quit watering their yards and we can keep growing our crops out in there, making hay and all that other good stuff, huh? That would be a battle. That would be fun to watch. Anyway, let's see here. I didn't get to talk about the hay market much yesterday as far as pricing and stuff. This story is written by Mike Rakin. Because this is not my story, because it says I'm not a Facebook social butterfly, because you guys know I am. In fact, I don't even have any friends on social media. That's my choice, and thankfully I have plenty of good friends in real life. Well, so do I. Even without friends, I still find Facebook to be useful for following groups that I'm interested in, including many forage-related entities. On one of the hay interest groups last week, I was drawn in by the following post. It says, so what the heck is going on with hay sales this year? This is southeast Wisconsin, had lots of rain, making dry hay almost impossible until July. The hay that was made either was rained on or moldy or both. The good hay made is not selling. What is going on? Thank you. As you might expect, the responses to this post were many and varied, which again emphasizes the fact that the hay markets are location specific, not national. Here's what some of the candidate responses prompt by the post. I'm in Massachusetts and we are experiencing the same thing, even with our normal customers. Next one was patience, patience, patience. Never panic about selling hay. Very little good hay in eastern Ontario. Also, it will sell like hotcakes this winter. And that's why I waited till last week to start this hay day. Tuesdays, put it in the barn and wait till colder weather. It will sell when the snow starts falling. Surprised how cheap it is here too. Some guys baled a lot of good hay. I had so much rain, I just finished some first cutting. People think because it's been raining that there will be plenty of hay, so they don't get in a hurry to buy. They don't realize that no hay gets made when it's raining, and that compounds into losing cuttings later down the road. I haven't sold any hay in almost 2 months. I've had dry hay, but it was late from the rain, so it had some dead grass in it. I discounted the price almost $2 a bale from last year. So anyway, everyone has hay and no one is needing it right now. Pastures are growing like crazy. No one is feeding hay. Well, just wait. I'm telling you guys, next month and the month after, you're going to be able to sell your hay. So anyway, have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow. It's the Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark, brought to you by the First National Bank and Trust of Sayre in Elk City, Oklahoma. God bless.